The sun was warm in a blue sky as the priestess Astarte stood at the graveside, watching her aides disguising the tomb. Carefully, they placed rocks upon the small island site and transferred plants to cover the recently turned soil. Astarte pushed back the hood of her scarlet and gold gown, revealing a hairless head and a face of startling, ageless beauty. A great sadness settled upon her. Astarte had witnessed many deaths in the hundreds of years of her life, but few had touched her as strongly as the passing of this hero. She gazed down at the dry riverbed. In spring, the meltwater would rush down from the mountains and flow around the island on both sides before becoming a single waterway to the south. Now, in the height of summer, the island was merely a small hill, dusty and unmemorable. Not a good resting place for a great man. An elderly priest in yellow robes approached her, his back bent, his gaunt, malformed features and huge brown eyes showing clearly to the initiated his status as a joining, a meld of man and beast. Happily, there were few in this benighted world of swords and spears who would recognize his origins. To most, he would merely be an ugly little man with friendly eyes.
"He deserved better than this, Holy One," said the priest.
"Aye, he did, Wildy, my friend."
Astarte turned away from the graveside and, leaning on her staff, moved down the hillside into the shadows. Wildy hobbled after her.
"Why have we done this? The people would have built a great tomb for him and erected statues. He saved them, after all. Now none will know where he lies."
She sighed.
"He will be found, Wildy. I have seen it. It may be 50 years from now, or 100, but he will be found."
"And what then, Holy One?"
"I wish I could say. You remember the resurrection priest who visited us several years ago?"
"A tall man. He wanted your help with an artifact."
"Yes,"
she said, reaching into a deep pocket in her gown. From it she drew a section of shining metal, indented and set with polished gems. Wildy gazed at it.
"It is very pretty. What is it?"
"It is part of a larger artifact used to produce creatures like us, my dear, to meld and to change matter, to extract the essence of life and cause it to be reproduced or reshaped. Beasts to walk like men, or men to act like beasts."
"Magical, then?"
"In a way, Wildy. This is an old world we find ourselves in. It has been through many births and rebirths. Once there were cities where buildings were so tall that clouds gathered around their summits. In that time, magic was commonplace, though it was not called magic. I have seen it in the mirror. It was a time of evil so colossal, so all-consuming, that men no longer recognized it. They built weapons so horrifying that they could devour whole cities and turn entire continents to ash. They poisoned the air and poisoned the seas, and tore down the trees that kept the earth alive."
Wildy shivered.
"What happened to them?"
"Mercifully, they destroyed themselves before they could kill the whole planet."
"And what has this to do with our friend and his death?"
Astarte glanced back at the work party. The hilltop was bare once more. Within a few weeks, there would be no sign of the tomb. The wind would blow dust over the site, grass would grow, and he would lie beneath the earth, silently waiting.
She shivered. "These ancients left many artifacts, Wildy. In the Resurrection Temple, there are objects like these, used for manipulating life itself. In other places, there are more sites dedicated not to life, but to death and destruction. The more the priests delve into the secrets of these artifacts, the closer they will come to recreating the horror of those ancient days.